Hello and welcome to The Transforming Word, a presentation of Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio. Our teacher, Dr. Mike Spalding, is studying through the entire Bible. We will be looking at the impact the Bible has had on Christians in the past and how it can change our lives today. Now let's go with Pastor Mike and let the Word transform our hearts.
Have you told your children lately, if you still have children at home, or have you told your children over the years, if they're grown now, don't make me tell you to do that again? Yeah, I see. I can judge by the reaction that some of us still say that. Yeah. I wonder how we would respond if God did that with us. Would one time be enough correction? Mike, I ask you to do that. I don't know what your problem is exactly, but I think you should do it and not make me ask you to do it again. Seriously, could you imagine that? But he doesn't. Why? Because he expects obedience from you. He expects that to be developed in you. He expects you to do that willingly as a demonstration of your love for him. He nurtures us even when we're not aware of it. I hastened. So I didn't delay. I didn't waste time. I didn't think twice about it. I didn't say, as soon as I finish this. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. If you love me, you will obey me. That's what he says, right? The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. The cords of the wicked, what does that mean? Well, the cords there you can see as bondage, right? Bondage to the things of life. Certainly, our enemies would seek to put us in bondage, right? Our great enemy, that's his mission. Until the time that he's cast into the lake of fire, he is trying to place God's people in bondage. Cords. And that really is part and parcel with sin, isn't it? What is the deceitfulness of sin? I remember, last year, I guess now. Let's see, no. Maybe 2011, even. Mike Reese, some of you know Mike. He's been here many times, not lately, not in the last year anyway. It would have been 11. Sometime in that summer he came over, and he and his the band that he's in, Simon Peter, they had made a CD. And one of the songs on that CD, if you don't have it, I think I've got a copy or two laying around someplace. I'll have to get it to you. Now, it's not the Gaither Trio, so if you're looking for, that's not it. But one song on that CD, I believe that the title of it is Hook. Does that sound right, Kathy? Hook. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. What's that about? Well, the song was about the deceitfulness of sin, and that sin is like a hook. And you can think of, and I've used this illustration before in teaching, but sin is, we got any fishermen? No? A couple? Sin is like a beautiful lure. I mean, it's gorgeous. You look at that and you think, man, I'm going to catch all kind of fish. They're just going to jump at this. Well, that's a good illustration for sin. Because the enemy always disguises sin so that it appears to be something that it's not. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. Then when the fruit of that comes, the deceitfulness of it is exposed, the rottenness of it is manifested. But by that time, sin has its hook in you already. And you folks that are fishermen, you know that fish can struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle, and it's not coming off that hook. The only way that that hook's going to be removed from the flesh of that fish is for the fisherman to remove it, right? Perfect illustration for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're hooked by sin, and we cannot escape that hook. Only Jesus can release us from the hook of sin, both at the cross in salvation and after when we stumble. The cords of the wicked have encircled me. Now notice, he says, even in this state, I have not forgotten your law. Why is that important? Even when we're beaten, when we've stumbled badly, when we've really blown it, when we're feeling all of that remorse and the guilt and the shame and all of those things that come along with that, what is our tendency? Our tendency is not to think about this, is it? We don't want the light of Scripture shining. We feel bad enough the way it is, right? And yet, the psalmist says, even in that condition, I have not forgotten your law. See, when we stumble, the first place we should run to is the Lord and ask mercy. And yet that is so often the one place we don't want to go. Why is that? It's because the deceitfulness of sin, the enemy convinces us we're not worthy to go ask. And you know, that's a lie straight out of the pits of hell and smells like smoke. Our Savior and Lord is the only place we should ever run, and especially when we've stumbled. Sometimes, when we stumble and we owe people an apology, or we need to go to them and ask for forgiveness, biggest reason we don't is pride. Well, what is that about? As servants of the Lord, pride is not something that should be elevated within us. Servants of the Lord should be humble. We should live a life of humility. The Bible instructs us over and over and over again to always what? Elevate the needs of others before our own. Don't think so mightily or haughtily of yourself. Take care of the needs of other people. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if we have this mindset, what is it that keeps us from running to the Lord and asking for mercy? Well, it's the lies of the enemy. It's the deceitfulness of sin. It's the pride that we all battle. But I rejoice in that. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. That, brothers and sisters, is the definition of a man or woman after God's own heart. You can think about King David there, can't you? As he was declared to be a man after God's own heart, and yet he had a pretty checkered he had a pretty checkered life. But you could say that of David. No matter how badly he stumbled, he never forgot the mercy and the grace of the Lord. He never forgot the law of the Lord. And he always would come back to the Lord face down. We're practice a song tonight, which is David's testimony. I think it's Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, O Lord, the joy of my salvation. Hasten, do not delay, to come back to the Lord. Do not allow that your circumstances, the cords of the wicked, the deceitfulness of sin, to keep you away from your relationship with the Lord. At midnight, verse 62, I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. At midnight, really? You know what that's saying to us? The application is 24/7. It's never too late. It's never too early. There's nothing that should keep you, well, I'll take care of it in the morning. No. At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to you, O Lord. Any time of the day is a good time to worship the Lord. How many of you have ever been driving down the road, either going to work early in the morning, coming home from work, you work third shift, whatever, and you're listening to the radio, Christian music's on, praise and worship music, whatever, you got a CD in, and all of a sudden you find yourself, as John talks about in the Revelation, in the Spirit. And a spirit of worship comes over you and you begin to worship the Lord. And then you realize you need at least one hand on the wheel while you're driving and one eye open. How many of you have ever done that? Just raised your hands, driving down the highway, worshiping the Lord. How many of you have ever been driving down the highway and seen somebody else doing that? I have. That makes me rejoice. And I praise the Lord. I say, thank you, Lord, for blessing that one right there, because I know they are having intimacy with you. They are worshiping you right now, Lord. It's any time's a good time. And I try to encourage the brothers and sisters here to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, because, you know, he's not on the clock. God doesn't operate by time. And he may, when you least expect it, he does me all the time. I hope that he's doing that to you. If not, ask him to. He'll say, hey, let's have fellowship. Just right out of the blue. You're not even thinking about the, I know. You mean, Mike, you don't live 24/7? God is always on your mind and on your lips? Well, I don't know if I can come here anymore. You're doing something else, and all of a sudden, the thought pops into your mind, prayer. You think that comes just out of the wild blue, just for no reason? No, that's the Lord. Or you're doing something, and all of a sudden, I should read the Bible. I should pick up where I'm reading and read a couple chapters. Do you think that comes from you? That's the Lord. He's calling you to fellowship. He says, hey, let's spend some time together. Now, what do you do? Do you keep sitting in the recliner watching TV? Keep reading your paper or your magazine? Keep doing the dishes or whatever you're doing? Do you keep doing that? No, it says in verse 60, I hasten and did not delay to keep your commandments, to meet you. When that thought of prayer or or worshiping or reading comes into your mind, that is an invitation from the Lord to spend time with Him. And you need to train yourself that when those moments come, get up, go to that place that you have designated, and enjoy that time with the Lord. Do you know if you'll train yourself to do that, you will begin to develop an intimacy with God you've never had before. You'll begin to know Him fuller in a much more richer way. He'll reveal Himself to you in ways that you never knew. That's how He works. So anytime's a good time to spend time with the Lord. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to You because of Your righteous ordinances. How many of you have spent time contemplating your life, where you are at now with your walk in the Lord, and you just praise Him? You can see back over the years of your life, and maybe you've walked with the Lord for 30 years, but the place where you're at now is so sweet. The place where you're at in your relationship has such meaning to it, such depth to it, that you rejoice in that, and you thank the Lord. Thank You for bringing me to this place. Thank You for bringing me to this depth. Well, guess what? You'll never plumb the depths completely, so keep going. Keep pushing on. Keep praising Him because of His righteous ordinances. Verse 63, I am a companion of all those who fear You and those who keep Your precepts. Now, what comes to mind when I read that is the passage in Hebrews that states, birds of a feather flock together. Okay, that's my paraphrase. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. There's a reason why we come together on Sundays and on Wednesday nights. You want to hear what the Lord has to say to you through your word, but don't we enjoy fellowship with one another? There's a reason why we have greeting time on Sunday morning. It isn't just so we can spread germs around by handshaking and all that stuff. It's because we truly, genuinely care about one another and love one another with the love of Christ. We are a family. We share each other's burdens. We share each other's joys. We share each other's sorrows. That's one of the blessed things of a prayer ministry. The church moves on the strength of prayer. So when He says, I am a companion of all those who fear You, He says, listen, I'm running with the right crowd. Now that's something that I know. Kathy and I have reared, if you want to be grammatically correct, we reared four daughters. And they'll tell you, they wish they had a dollar for every time I told them, when you run with dogs, you get fleas. And of course, that's a paraphrase of Paul's admonition to the Corinthians. Bad company corrupts good morals. And it isn't just for young people. And listen, I remember my daughters, you know, they used that thing. It used to be evangelistic dating. I'm going to turn them. No, they're going to turn you. And so we used to always say, be a balcony person. Lift them up. Don't be a basement person and get pulled down. You don't date someone or be serious about someone when they're not saved. You've got nothing in common in the spiritual world. Zero, zilch, nada. What do you got to talk about besides worldly stuff? Hello? What values do they share with you? None. but they're a good person. They're going to bust hell's gates wide open. I don't care how good they are. Unless they're born again. You run with the right crowd. Birds of a feather flock together. That's why we come together. I'm a companion of all those who fear you, so I seek holiness. And here's another thing that comes to mind. Do you understand that when you are with a group of people that are focused on serving the Lord, that love the Lord, they're not playing games, there's no peripheral static going on, and they really are on the road to holiness? Do you understand that is going to help you in your walk with the Lord? As we join arms together, do you understand that's going to help you in your walk of holiness? I'm a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. It is not square. Do people even use that word today? Sam, they don't use that word. Okay. It is not uncool. What's the word they use today? Huh? It's cool, okay. It's not uncool to be righteous. It's not uncool to be holy. To have a desire to keep his precepts. The coolest thing in the world is someone who can control themselves because they love somebody else so much. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. That reminds me of verse 41. May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord. Here in verse 64, he tells us that the earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. I see examples of your goodness everywhere. That should be our testimony, shouldn't it? People should say, well, you know, I really appreciate this person here because of the life that they live. Clearly, they are living a life of holiness and right. Now, does that mean we're perfect? No, nobody's perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But isn't it evident? You know people in your own lives that are seeking to live for the Lord, to please the Lord in everything that they do and say. Isn't that an encouragement to you? It's an encouragement to me when I see people doing that. But I give God the glory for it because I understand that He is alive. He is actively working in the lives of His people. You know, we talk all the time about this being a very, very dark time in our nation's history. And really, it exceeds that globally. We're living in some very strange, strange times. But God always, read the history. And then know your history. No matter how dark it gets, God always has a remnant. He always protects and provides for a remnant. Always. So I don't despair. I don't like it. And I critique it. And I call it out. And sadly and unfortunately, a lot of that darkness has invaded the church. People are bringing ideas and attitudes and philosophies into the household of God, masquerading as this new thing. Every time somebody talks to me about a new thing or a new way, I always point them back to Jeremiah, where God told them, stay on the old paths. Stay on the tried and true paths. You don't need a new thing. You need to remember who I am. That's the important thing for us.
That's all we have time for today on The Transforming Word with Dr. Mike Spalding. If you'd like to listen to the message again, mail your request to The Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. Or you can go to our website. The address is ccloohio.org. If you like, you can email Pastor Mike. His address is pastormike@ccloohio.org. Again, if you'd like to write us, send your letter to The Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. Please include the call letters of this station when you write. If you're in the Lima, Ohio area and would like to join us as we study through the Word of God, our services are held on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. The church is located at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima, Ohio. Until we meet again next time, let the Word transform your heart. The Transforming Word is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio.